I'm Sam Edwards. I'm third generation Cure Master from S. Wallace Edwards & Sons in Surrey, Virginia. We support the Heritage Radio Network because we believe in the cause and what they're doing. They're supporting family-raised livestock, small family farms, certified humane, pasture-raised, antibiotic-free. Basically, we take the products from Heritage Foods USA and make them into Serrano-style hams, prosciutto-style hams, bacon, sausage, like my grandfather did. You can find us at Surrey Farms. .com or virginiatraditions.com.
Hi everybody, you tuned in to the heritageradionetwork.com. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, and I'm here today with my co-host, Andrew, my son by 1 minute, Newman.
I need a new nickname.
Yeah. Andrew came in 1 minute before the show began.
Wait, is this because of last week when we called you out? Is that why you threw me under the bus this week? I see how it goes.
Yes.
Is there going to be an ongoing competition between us?
Well, you're going to lose because you're always late. I was late once. Before we get started, we're going to thank my producer, my engineer, Jack Inslee, for doing a terrific job.
Thank you, Jack.
Today's show is Making Money from Dirt. We're on every Thursday from 4:30 to 5 p.m. We're broadcast live. We'd love to hear from you. Call in during the show. Call in on area code 718. What is it, Drew?
497-2128. 718-497-2128.
Or you can email us at info@heritageradionetwork.com. Tell us what you're thinking, your comments, your thoughts, your questions, whatever you got going. We'd love to hear from you. We want you to know if you can't listen live, you can always get any show on the website. It's archived. You can download a free podcast. We're there for you 24/7. We have a very special guest today. He is the owner, the president, the executive director. I don't know what his title is. He's going to tell us. His name is Woody Tash from Slow Money. Is Woody on the line? Hello, Woody.
I'm here. And
welcome.
You know how special today is? Because it's going to be Flash talking cash with Tash.
There we go.
Oh, that's a good one, Woody. Good. I'm glad you thought of it. Flash talks cash with Tash. Wow, we can make something of that on an ongoing basis. Who knows?
All right.
Well, our show is going to, we're all about money. Interestingly enough, Woody, our radio station does a lot of food-related shows, food, wine, beer, anything to do with, that kind of thing. And your organization is a perfect fit for Flash Talks Cash on the Heritage Radio Network. We're going to talk about Woody's organization called Slow Money. It's a non-for-profit, a 501c3. We talked about that recently. And the purpose of the Slow Money movement, the Slow Money movement is, tell us a little bit about it, Woody, please.
I'm sure all your listeners are going to get the idea very quickly. I mean, it's just taking the spirit of, let's say, slow food and dragging it across to the investment side, meaning it's one thing for us to all start using our consumer dollars differently, but if we don't actually find ways to use our investment dollars differently as well, right, and put our investment dollars to work in support of local food systems, we're never going to get the transformation we want soon enough.
That's great. I was reading the material about your organization, and the one thing that jumped out at me is the way you guys want to, I don't find it right now in my papers. It's about here it is. The 21st, as the way I see it, is measuring the GDP for the 21st century. It's time to, stop buying refrigerators and automobiles and stop measuring our economy by that. And now you want an economy based on extraction and consumption to an economy based on preservation and restoration. That's a great concept. You want to explain a little bit what that means to our financial listeners?
That's maybe the biggest way to talk about what we're doing, meaning the most macro or the most historical way of talking about it. So there is a bunch of very big ideas, meaning far-reaching, and then so we can talk about them for a minute. But whenever we talk about those big ideas, you have to just keep in your head that we're talking about just investing some of our money in small food enterprises. It's a very concrete activity that we're going to kind of discipline those big ideas with. Mm-hmm. But you started with probably the biggest idea, mm-hmm. which is that you know, for the last few hundred years, we've been operating with increasing complexity and increasing speed in this model of industrial finance. I call it industrial finance. People use the phrase industrial agriculture, but I think we can just say industrial finance, meaning how do we grow the economy as quickly as possible,
right.
Get as much throughput as possible, as much consumption as possible, and that was all done because the only thing we were focused on was something called standard of living. We had this idea that if we quantitatively grew, the rising tide would carry all boats, and there's lots of things to debate in there if someone wants to be skeptical, but it's certainly my belief that we're rapidly approaching the end of that logic. That's a very linear extractive model, and mm-hmm. we're starting to see the feedback loops, and we haven't adjusted our economic thinking to the realities that we're now seeing on the planet. Right. So another way of saying that is moving from extraction and consumption to preservation and restoration.
Mm-hmm.
But the important thing is to remember we're talking about jobs and wealth creation and economic opportunity, but doing it in a new model with a new set of, right. let's say, definitions around it.
Well, we need a new model. I remember Bush tax cuts. You know, I'm a money lady. A few years back, he gave the taxpayers, the Americans, money, a rebate, a refund, and said, go out and spend it. Go and buy cars and refrigerators. It was a crazy concept. And then a year or two later, we're in the deepest recession, and, you know, no longer people could afford or want any more refrigerators and TVs and cars. So now the focus, and I think it's fabulous that we're now changing the focus and putting it back. And we're greatly benefited by it because we get to eat much better food than we've gotten over the past 50 years.
Right. I mean, that's, you know, one of the, if anybody is, you know, a quote, sophisticated investor, unquote, listening to this discussion, the first thing that will come into their heads will be that this is, you can't get a risk-adjusted rate of return, that you're not going to make enough money doing this, and that it's riskier, but it's lower return. And if you just talk about it in arithmetic terms, maybe.
Right.
There's a lot of different things. I'm not accepting that, but you could say even if you accept that, there are other returns that you get. Some of them are very immediate, like fresh, nutritious food.
Right.
That's pretty immediate.
Right.
Not quite as immediate as, let's say, more farms, more fertility, better water in your region in
mm-hmm.
general, so that your local economy, your region is healthier. And these are real values. It's just right now, as investors, we're taught not to really pay attention to them when we're buying and selling a security.
So this concept, your concept, is along the lines of the socially responsible investors that came around in the 80s and the 90s, and this is just an extension of that, and on that level. Correct?
Yes, absolutely. There are a number of threads we're kind of weaving together right. in a slightly new way. But I guess I'd like to say real quickly for anyone who is going to want to find out more about slow money after they hear this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was treasurer of a foundation in New York for most of the 90s. I was a small-time venture capitalist before that. And so these aren't harebrained financial, you know, crazy ideas. They do require fundamentally new ways of thinking about things.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that what we bring to social investing, and I said all that because I've been going to, you know, the social, you know, SRI in the Rockies and various social investing, you know, trade shows and for a long time have put money to work with some of the early slow money managers and mutual funds and whatnot. But I think the thing that's missing from all of that, which everyone knows and is everyone's really anxious to see kind of added into the equation, is the issue of local. Like, how do you, if you do a screened mutual fund of some kind, that's a good thing. If you
mm-hmm.
can get egregious performers out of your portfolio, great, let's
mm-hmm.
do that.
Right.
But the ultimate thing we need to do is figure out how to put our money to work close to home in things that we understand. And that's like a whole nother level of so-called social investing.
Right. And so there might be a give back in the rate of return, the value of your investment, if you can keep it where it'll benefit you in another form other than financial.
Right. That's again, each one of the things we're going to gloss over today, because each one of them is a big discussion point. But I would say there, you just have to think about a few things. One is, you know, risky compared to what, you know, or
mm-hmm.
low return compared to what. If you believe that continuing to invest in the idea of unlimited economic growth, that, let's say, you want your money going up smokestacks in China because China growing at 10% a year is what's keeping us out of a global depression.
Right.
If you like that and you believe that that is leading us to a better standard of living as a planet, I would say keep your money there.
Well, they're not investing because it's going to lead to a better standard of. They're just doing it because they're going to make more money that way.
Well, I'm just trying to acknowledge.
Right.
There are a lot of people who are afraid to pull their money out
right.
of that system. They think the whole thing is going to collapse. And I feel like
mm-hmm.
we're heading towards a collapse if we keep going there. So that if you
mm-hmm.
take some of your money
mm-hmm.
out and put it to work locally, this is a long answer to your question of even if you were to make, quote, less money, unquote, mm-hmm. which is unproven, no mm-hmm. one knows, less money, I'm not so sure. You know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of volatility in the global financial markets now, a lot of uncertainty. But even if you were going to make so-called less money, the point you're raising is right. There are other very tangible benefits you're going to get. But I think it's a mistake to actually start the discussion assuming you're going to make less money. I think our money is a great risk right now. I think the global financial market is tremendously risky. Mm-hmm. And I even though local investing is relatively new, right. it seems to make a lot of sense to me. So
okay. Woody, I have some straight-up questions, financially speaking. The questions that come to my mind right off the bat is there any historical information as far as rates of returns and investment returns that you can talk about?
Not investing in small food enterprises. That's why we're a nonprofit, and that's why we're okay. doing what we're doing. We're basically, you could look at slow money as the incubator for a new asset class or a new style of investing, if you want to call it that.
Right.
We need to show, let's say, statistically relevant data over the next decade. We're just getting going. So we have lots of anecdotal information, and people are starting to invest, and okay. I can tell you some of the things people are investing in.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not anywhere near the kind of data we need to say, oh, you can invest in slow money and make a 3% return
right.
or okay. a 4% return or okay. this or that. And okay. I'd like to actually say one other thing. Slow money is an idea. It's a way of thinking about investing.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a movement. I'm glad you used that word. It's not a fund.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one kind of security.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to include, if you just want to, you know, let your financial mind roam wild for a second,
mm-hmm.
if you take 0% return, which is what Muhammad Yunus has put out as a social enterprise investment, meaning you get your money back and no financial return, and then you look to the left and the right of that boundary to, let's say, -5% and +10%,
right.
somewhere in that range is a bunch of slow money stuff.
Right.
And, you know, is someone going to make more than 10% investing in slow money things? Like, what if you invest in the next Stonyfield?
Yeah.
Are you going to make more than 10%?
Right.
Answer, yes.
Right.
So there's a lot that we're going to learn about this,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's clear to us that we are, let's say, on the continuum between philanthropy and venture capital, if you want to say it another way.
Okay. Now, for a person who wants to, say, invest, you have an organization that is a for-profit. It's called a Slowed Money Seed Fund. That's for-profit. What is that? Is that an investment vehicle?
That actually doesn't exist yet. That's on the drawing board. Right now, what we have for people, we're a nonprofit, and the reason we're a nonprofit is our job is to not to build a financial empire, but to catalyze the creation of new financial products and services that will make it easy for lots of people to do this in the future.
Uh-huh.
And we want this to be as local and decentralized as possible. It's another whole part of this story is that we're at the end of an era of intermediation, you know, crazy financial intermediation and huge financial institutions. We all know that, so we don't
right.
have to dwell on that right
Too
now.
Too big to fail.
Right, so we're trying to do this in a way which will keep it as decentralized, local, and disintermediated as possible.
Got it.
That's why we're a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, for people to invest, we're just doing a few very basic things. We're bringing people together on a national level in a conference where a bunch of small food enterprises present to hundreds of investors. We had 600 people at our last event in Vermont, 24 small food enterprises, and that was last June, and to date, over $4 million has been invested in 12 of them, which is really a great thing.
So how does that go? So
those are individuals. Those are just individuals, investment decisions into the enterprise. We just put people together in the tent
uh-huh.
with lots of information
right.
and inspiration and excitement, and then everyone, it was every man and woman for him or herself.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, how that goes. If I have, say, $1,000 and there's 24 companies pitching, who decides where my $1,000 gets invested in?
Okay,
how does that work?
In that particular model, that thing that we just described isn't very useful to you, because for an investor who only has $1,000 to invest, that model doesn't really work too well, or it doesn't work at all. So if you are a sophisticated investor, meaning an accredited investor, someone with, you know, slightly high net worth or very high net worth person,
mm-hmm.
who's also known as angel investors, those are the people who are doing most of the investing we're talking about
so far.
That's just because that's what you can do with existing securities laws, and we don't want to get into all those details today. But that's what's starting to happen. Then, to your point, on our website, if someone says, well, I don't have that kind of money and I don't know how to make an investment in a private company, what else can I do? If you go on our website, you'll see a button that says, if you want to invest now, and if you click there, it just lists a number of things that anybody can do, has $1,000 to put into this area. Mm-hmm. It's like RSF Social Finance is one. Mm-hmm. The Carrot mm-hmm. Project is another. These are other intermediaries, mm-hmm. friends or members of Slow Money, but it's not Slow Money the organization. It's just groups that are part of our network mm-hmm. who do have products mm-hmm. that can receive $1,000 from a social investor, if I right. want to call us that, right. who wants to see their money go into small food things.
Got it.
But you can't target it to your neighborhood, and you can't target it to one investment. Mm-hmm. You'd just be putting it into a fund.
Good.
And then there are a few of them now, and I expect that there will be quite a few more of those kinds of things popping up over the next several years.
Hey, Woody, can you hold on for a minute? We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more questions.
Absolutely.
Okay, hang on one minute. Thanks.
Give me land, lots of land, under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze and listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me.
Okay, we're back. Flash Talks Cash. We're talking to Woody Tash from the Slow Money Movement. Woody, I have a couple of more questions. We have a few more minutes left before we have to hang up. My question is, I understand the concept. This is, you know, you want investors to come in, and this is an alternative to buy in real estate, to invest in stocks, invest in bonds, and bank, you know, save some money. And then you put a little bit of money into this alternative investment called the Slow Money Movement, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. My question is this: you know, we're New Yorkers. You're a New Yorker. You know the drill. We live with Wall Street. We're used to financial people, and the flip side of that is we're also used to having our investments secured by form of some sort of insurance. The government has FDIC or SIPC. Is there any insurance or guarantees if people throw money at you that they're not going to be a part of a Ponzi scheme or a huge loss?
Well, so interesting that you just conflated a whole bunch of really interesting things to me.
I'm sorry.
But I give you a quick answer, and that is one of the things we don't have time to get into, let's say, the various different things that we're doing. But I just gave you a few pieces before.
Right.
But we are launching something called the Soil Trust.
Yes.
It's a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
And the dollars that come into that will be used to provide guarantees, this is to your point,
mm-hmm.
to slow money investors in
mm-hmm.
various ways. So if we are successful raising money for the Soil Trust, which we're mm-hmm. just starting to do now,
mm-hmm.
take that money. One of the principal uses of it will be to provide guarantees to slow money investors for exactly the reasons you're raising, meaning especially when this thing is new.
Right.
People want to know, well, how am I going to make sure at least I don't lose my shirt?
Correct.
So, and I can tell you, my belief is there are millions of investors out there who would like to put some of their money to work on local food systems.
Right.
If it can be made easier and some of the risk can be taken out of it for them. Until we see, to your question before the break, you know, exactly how much money are we going to make? The answer is we don't know.
Right. Right.
So that's uncertainty. So if
right.
We are going to try to provide some guarantees, at least at the beginning, to get the money to start flowing better.
Well, it sounds wonderful. I'm very, very interested. I like the alternative investment. You can only put so much money in the bank and earn 0.25%. And, you know, the stock market, it's doing well. You can't put all your eggs in one basket. And I always tell my clients, my friends, you got to diversify. This is another option. It's an option. And it's new. It's in its infancy stage. It could be like the next internet. Remember in the 90s when all those people invested?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be huge. It's going to take over. It's going to be big.
Well, why couldn't it? It could be. It could be.
I do want to just say one quick thing.
Mm-hmm.
When we have to get off. But
okay.
Our next national conference is October 12th to 14th. It's in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
so it's on the other coast.
Right.
These meetings are important because everyone who's been coming to them does feel like we're at the beginning of something that
right.
is going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And we are building, you know, trust, sharing information.
Mm-hmm.
Building co-investment relationships. So there's a lot of, you know, they've really been a lot of fun too, if I can say that, but also very important to us as we begin to build out the structure. So for those people who are listening to this who might be inclined to come to something in San Francisco in the fall, they should stay tuned. We're just starting to put stuff up on our website about it.
Okay, we're going to put a link of your website onto our website on the Heritage Radio Network and on Flash Talks Cash. So anybody who wants to follow up can see. You want to just throw your email address out there or your website out there?
Yeah, it's just slowmoney.org.
Okay, so that seems simple. I want to thank you for calling in today, Woody. It was a pleasure talking to you, and I hope to talk to you some more.
Yeah, I would love to do that.
Off air, we'll talk some more. Thanks,
okay.
Woody. Take care.
All right, thank
Bye.
You. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, what'd you think, Andrew? You got some money to throw to some yogurt maker in Vermont, maybe?
Not yet. I'm reinvesting in myself at this point.
It sounds pretty interesting, right?
Oh, no, I think of it as, it seems very patriotic almost, you know, like you're reinvesting in our country. And,
right.
And I really like that idea
right.
because so much of our economy is just going abroad, I feel, at this point. And I think it's right. really great that we are reinvesting. And it's beneficial to everybody, locally grown food.
It's all good.
I don't see
and
a real
who's to
downside.
Say it can't be the next internet or Facebook? Who said it can't be? It
well,
could be.
The only problem is the returns are going to be slower because you have to wait for it to grow out, or else you can just invest in one of those large multi acre farms where
but those people aren't turning out the
food.
No,
I understand. That's what I'm saying. So it would be a lot slower return. I don't think you'll ever see a fast return on something. Because
it doesn't take long to grow spinach. It just takes 30, 60 days.
We might have to get back on the phone.
We'll talk about that. So we're going to move on now. And I have a, we usually do an email bag, but I came across something. I was so happy to find this the other day. A few months ago, I found a website called, what is it called? Unclaimed Funds. And I went on the website and I was able to find that there was money out there. At the controller of New York State had some money on account in my company name. So I proceeded and filled in the form, and they sent me a check. Okay, it was only $27. But
wow.
It was just great.
It's like free money.
It was free money. I had to fill out one stinking form and put a stamp on an envelope. So it was really exciting. So last night I went back to the website. I was looking and thinking what I want to do for the show today.
Is this your investment scheme?
No, this is not an investment scheme. No, not at all. So I found it. They've made it even simpler and easier. This couldn't be simpler. Every state in the country has unclaimed funds. Now, it's your money. Let me tell you a couple of numbers. The unclaimed property held by the 50 states in Washington, D.C., $32 billion. That's your money, boys and girls. And it comes from all sorts of places. It comes from utility deposits. Remember, you know, you open up a phone bill or a Con Ed bill. It comes from old checking and savings accounts. You might have let it go for $8 or $27. It comes from tax refunds. If you moved since your tax refund or your mailman was off that day and you never got your check, it comes from things like that. Insurance payments. Insurance reimburse you for your co-pays or whatever they do when you move. Stock dividends, again, your portfolio, you moved around or whatever happened.
All right. So what
stocks,
are you trying to say here?
Bonds, safe deposit proceeds. If you let your safe deposit box go, they sell it on your behalf and they put the money in your account and it's waiting for you.
Awesome. What's the website?
I'm going to tell you the website.
Just give us a website.
It's the naupa.org and it stands for the National Association of Unclaimed Property Administrators. naupa.org, and then you click on your state and you go to your state controller and then you put your name in there and some of the places that you lived. So last night I did it. I must have punched in, and this is just from my head. I was punching all my relatives. Well, I found money for my father. I found money for my grandmother. I looked for Andrew. There was nothing there for Andrew. I found money for at least 15 clients.
I think you need a better hobby. That seems kind of sad.
naupa.org. Okay, there's money out there. Oh, so let me tell you a story. So I was talking to Natasha this morning, who happens to be my daughter, your sister Andrew, and I was talking to her about it. She goes,
I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, my husband got into this a couple of years ago when it first came on, and he found money for his father and his grandfather to the tune of $36,000. Okay, found money. There are dollars.
How do you lose money like that?
You know what? They had a stock that they thought was worthless. Well, it wasn't worthless, and they just let it go.
Oh, I remember that now.
A friend of mine, I emailed her and I said, "Your deceased husband has money on the account." She said, and she wrote back. She goes, "Yeah, I just got my $211, and I'm waiting for his $211 now." So you know what? $211 is nice to have for nothing. For nothing. Go on the website. Spend 2 seconds. Okay. There's no fees to be paid for this. It's not a scam. It's really a lot of fun when you you find your name up there and you say, oh, but they don't tell you how much it is. You got to go through the process. And then eventually they tell you how much it is.
I think
and
you should do a whole show about this. You seem very excited by this concept.
Most people, you know, get small amounts, but there are some winners, okay? The other thing that you can do is unredeemed savings bonds, lots of that. Series E savings bonds. You know, a long time ago, when you were a kid, everybody bought your savings bonds, Series E savings bonds. Well, a lot of them don't get cashed in. They mature and they just get lost or whatever. So there's a website. Oh, by the way, there's $16 billion of unredeemed savings bonds out there held in the Treasury. So you got to go to the U.S. Treasury. The website for that is... I don't know the website. You got to go to the U.S. Treasury Department database, and there's unclaimed savings bonds. It's a beautiful thing. You know, Flash loves to talk about cash. It doesn't have to be $1 million all the time. So I thought that was great. I called friends this morning, and they were all excited. Everybody's excited, okay?
You seem very excited.
I'm very excited. Jack is online now looking up as we're on the show. He's so excited, okay?
The Inslee family has nothing.
You see? But you just keep checking back every 6 months or a year and you find out. We're not going to do number nuts today because
you got so excited by this other idea, apparently.
I did. I really,
so I think I talked for about 4 minutes today. That was a lot of fun.
I'm glad
you yelled at me for being late and I got to talk for 4 minutes all day.
Well, what do you want to talk about? I have a forensic case right now I want to tell you about.
I want to talk I'm expanding my business.
All right. Tell us
I don't want to talk about that.
So, you know that Flash Fleming, besides being a CPA...
That's more than a three-minute conversation, I feel.
She is also a forensic accountant.
What's a forensic accountant?
Right. Everybody asks that. What a forensic guy. I don't investigate murders, you know.
Well, I started watching Dexter, so I know what forensics do.
But isn't that about murders and stuff?
Well, it's the same concept.
No, forensic accounts don't do anything to do with murder. It's about white collar crime.
I got that, but it's investigating.
Investigating white collar crime. So I was looking for an interesting case to tell you about, and you know, Andrew, and some of my listeners do. Some of my listeners may not know this, that I am really raging against the banks. Since the recession in 2008, the banks really got me. But this is just amazing, okay? I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story real quick about what the banks are doing these days, okay? And it has to do a little bit about forensic, okay? The Bank of America and Wachovia have been linked to hundreds of billions of dollars of laundered funds from the drug smugglers in Mexico over the past several years. This is amazing. Wachovia admitted that they didn't do enough to spot the illicit funds, including handling whopping $378 billion for Mexican currency exchange houses from 2004 to 2007. How does a bank not know what's going on to the this high tune of $378 billion?
Well, it depends on the size of the transfers and stuff like that.
Wachovia's disregard for the U.S. banking laws made funding drug cartels virtually effortless. Wachovia is not the only bank. American Express has paid fines for the involvement in the same practices, along with the Bank of America, which they were used by drug traffickers to buy three planes that carried 10 tons of cocaine. Okay? This is pretty bad. So the federal agents have caught people working for the Mexican drug cartels, depositing funds into the Bank of America all over the country.
And I have a question.
And drug dealers open up accounts in HSBC.
I have a question. If they're going to do it anyway...
Who's going to do what anyway?
The drug dealers. They're going to do this anyway. Why not just make a buck off it?
Oh, you see. There's
someone's
going
to do it.
Well,
all right, so how about this? Watch. Say they don't go through the bank. Say they then just go to the plane purchaser and be like, here's cash. Then there's no record at all. Then at least we have a record here. We find the people.
A record?
Come on.
Yeah, there's a record.
We're making money off of this.
$378 billion went through Wachovia, and they had records. Sure, they had records.
See, Wachovia made money. The government's making money. We're making money on the drug trade.
And we're supporting the Mexicans. Yeah. No, there's a
What's
problem here. Well, you know,
it's almost like legalizing it.
There used to be stricter banking laws, and now the bankers just disregard the laws.
I think
total disregard.
Total legalization of everything.
Total disregard.
Make money everywhere.
You know, there's something called a moral compass, and the bankers don't seem to know where the ethical and moral behavior is.
No one has a moral compass anymore.
Oh, I don't agree with you.
You're the only one.
So I want to just tune off. I turn off now.
You should tune off.
I'm going to turn off now because these bankers never cease to amaze me, and I'm going to come back next week with another story. See you guys next week.